Let's take our Bibles tonight and turn over to the book of Joshua in just a few minutes tonight. If I've got a wagon load tonight, it'll be one of them little red riders. You'll get that after a while. Amen. I don't believe I have much tonight. Just the thought. Joshua, Judges, and then Ruth. This is a very, very familiar story in the Bible. Everybody knows what happened in Joshua 6 at Jericho, the great victory that God gave in the life of the children of Israel. And then I am aware that at least one time since I've been pastor here, I have preached out of Joshua chapter 7. But I'll say this, if I preach very long at all, I'll probably preach out of it again. I believe the Lord has something here for us tonight. Look in verse 18 of chapter 6 for a moment. The Bible said, "And ye, in any wise, keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest you make yourselves accursed when you take of the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it." I'll say this tonight before I forget it while it's on my heart. We're going to gather in this altar when I get finished preaching tonight. We're going to pray for Miss Connie. Miss Eve told me I didn't hear that prayer request this morning. I wasn't in here yet, brother, about Miss Connie's blood pressure. And we're going to pray for Sister Marlene's daddy that's nearing the shore. Amen. And we're going to pray for a deputy sheriff. If God's a squeezing his heart and it's running out his eyeballs, it might be time he run out of ground. Say amen. Run to Jesus. We're going to pray. I spoke with a man last night and today. He's taking his wife to Vanderbilt, and we'll pray for that situation. I tried to be a help and a blessing to them. Everywhere you look, people are hurting. Yeah. And people need help, amen, that comes from above. One preacher said, a preacher that will preach to the hurting will never lack a congregation. Amen, people are hurting. The Bible said here, "And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, unless you make yourselves accursed when you take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse, trouble it." Chapter 7, verse 1, "But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing, for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel." Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for the privilege to be back in the house of God. And Lord, we thank you tonight that we can come to our Father's house and find that our Father's at home. And Lord, we know you don't dwell in buildings made with hands. Lord, we are the temple of God. Our bodies as believers, as blood-bought, born-again believers, Lord, you dwell in us. The building was dead till we got here. But Lord, what a blessing it is, Lord, to experience the life that we have in Jesus tonight. Lord, I thank you for these testimonies tonight, the praise that wells up. I pray, Father. Lord, I know tonight that it seems like on every hand, old time religions died. Oh God, I pray that it wouldn't die around Bible Way. I pray, Lord, that we could ever be sensitive. Lord, that we wouldn't grieve you, that we wouldn't quench you, Lord. God, if you move on our heart, we'd be obedient to the Holy Spirit. Father, out tonight, I pray you'd help us to preach just a little while. God, we'll give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. This morning, I preached on this subject out of Acts chapter number 7, 6, 7, and 8, actually a little bit. I preached on the message that got a man killed. the message that got a man killed. I just say, what a message that Stephen, that spirit-filled deacon, preached to those there in the book of Acts, chapter number 7. They may never have heard the truth again, but they heard it once. Amen. Tonight I want to preach on this subject, the mess that got a whole family killed. This morning there was a message, a gospel message, a message from the Word of God that got a man killed for standing up and preaching it. And tonight there's a mess, not a message, but a mess. A family is in a mess. I got an email this morning, and I'm no way going to go into any detail. But another family is in a mess. I'm telling you, the devil hates the family. I'm telling you, listen to me, society as a whole hates the family. Amen. They're trying to call it things a family that God never would call a family. Amen. That our Lord called an abomination. And it'll never work. It'll never work. But tonight as I look at this, I want you to please know that I'm not preaching at anyone. That I have experienced some of these things in our own family. And that God may be trying to help someone that's in a mess. And God may be trying to help someone else to avoid a mess. Amen. I believe that would be the best scenario if we could avoid the mess. Amen. You say, preacher, what happened here? Well, if you know the story, that's wonderful. You'll probably stay ahead of me all the way through it. But just for adventure that you don't, I just want to give you, I think it's five things that I wrote down in the margin of my Bible. The mess, number one, was created by disobedience. God said, don't do something. He said, keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest you yourselves make yourselves accursed. And what God told them not to do, they did. It was simple disobedience. I believe that we're living in a generation where that as long as the consequences of the disobedience is not too bad, then the disobedience is not too bad. But can I tell you, little bits and little seeds of disobedience grow up into big bits and big seeds of disobedience. Amen. And I believe with all of my heart here that Achan, he disregarded the word of God and the warning of God, and it's going to cost him because of his disobedience. And by the way, let me just say this to you. If you belong to Jesus, it ain't going to just cost you. It's going to cost somebody else as well. Let me rephrase that. If you don't belong to Jesus, it's not going to just cost you. No man lives to himself. I didn't say no saved man. No man lives to himself and no man dies to himself. Every one of us, our life, is going to have an impact and effect on someone around us. So the mess that got a family killed, it began with disobedience. I was thinking of my little granddaughter. Right now, she is just nothing short of gorgeous. I can't wait till she gets old enough and I can tell her how gorgeous she is. And when some man comes along and bends over and says, honey, you're beautiful, she can throw her hands on her little hips and say, my papa said I'm gorgeous. Amen. I just can't wait. Amen. And I tell you right now, she's stepping on papa's toes. And I pray the day never comes. Because of disobedience that she'd step on Papa's heart. When she'd step on her daddy's heart or her mommy's heart. But I tell you, Mommy and Daddy, what I'd say tonight, watch those little seeds of disobedience. Amen. My friend, it's time to take care of it early. Say amen in their lives. Amen. We need to watch that. And here in the life of Achan, there was disobedience that's going to end up getting the whole family and more killed. This is a mess. I see in the mess, I see disobedience. But secondly, this is what I think we are missing in this generation that we live in. We think we can have disobedience without consequence. Listen to me tonight. I enjoy so much hearing songs like that, "I Rest My Case at the Cross." I enjoy hearing messages about the forgiveness. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I enjoy hearing messages about the blood. I enjoy hearing messages, my friend, about how that our God is patient and how that He's merciful. But I'll tell you, you don't hear many messages like this. Every disobedience and every sin somewhere has an equal consequence. Forgiveness does not erase consequences. If a young'un gets hooked on dope or gets hooked on liquor, are you listening to me? And their liver's rotted out, amen, or their nostrils are rotted out, God can save them and deliver them and take them to heaven, but that's not going to restore their liver. It's not going to restore the lives that have been damaged along the way. There's a consequence. He said, "Preacher, what happened?" The Bible said here, look at verse 2. Israel committed the trespass in verse 1. Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Bethaven, on the east side of Bethel. And he spake unto them, saying, "Go up and view the country." And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, "Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few." So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled. They did not conquer Ai. They ended up running, fleeing from the enemy. Fleeing from the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men. You say, "Preacher, this just don't seem fair. Achan's the one that sinned. Achan's the one that took it. Achan's the one that buried it." I'm telling you, my friend, in a lot of ways, life is not fair. His ways are not our ways, and His thoughts are not our thoughts. Amen. Here in the Word of God, there's a consequence to this disobedience. I don't know about you, but I've read this again today. And I don't know how that Brother Ralph Achan makes it from right here, down here to where he gets caught in front of Josh. I don't know how he makes it. I don't know how, my friend, that it wasn't eating his lunch and amen, that he didn't come clean a long time before he did, knowing that 36 of his comrades had died as a result of his disobedience. There's a consequence. There's a consequence. There are people in the world. There are. That tell young people, "It's your life. You do what you want to do with it." And there are some parents in the world that don't have any more wisdom than that. "Go ahead and sow your wild oats," they'll say. I'll tell you something right now. With the wild oats comes consequences of wild oats. Amen. And I believe with all of my heart here that God would say to us that disobedience is it was a factor in the mess that got a family killed. The consequences, they factor into this mess that got a family killed. The men of Ai smote them about 36 men. They chased them before the gate even to Shabarim and smote them in the going down, whereof the hearts of the people melted and became as water. You know what I believe? I believe they went in there. They went up there, spied the land. I believe they were as cocky a bunch as you could get. Say amen. I believe they said, "Hey, we just come from Jericho. You look what God did over at Jericho. This ain't going to be no problem at all." Amen. Ain't no use in all of us going up there. By the way, that's the same way in the church. A lot of people say, "Well, you can get you some good soldiers, preacher, but don't count me in. You don't need me to win that battle." I tell you, you're wrong. We need every soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone. We need them. We need them. By the way, I'll show you that in chapter 8. After it all gets straightened out and everything gets back on the right page, Joshua said, "Take them all. All the men of war. Take them all. Because they're all important to God. There's a mess. It's a mess of disobedience. It's a mess with consequences. When you come on down here in the chapter, verse number 7, and Joshua said, "Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us under the hand of the Amorites and to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan." Now listen, Joshua's a good leader. Let me tell you why Joshua's a good leader. Everybody listen to me right here, right quick, especially our young people tonight. Joshua's a good leader because Joshua was a good follower. You're never going to find a good leader that was not first a good follower. Are you listening to me? He said, "Preacher, I ain't following nobody. I want to lead." I'm going to tell you something right now. You'll never be a good leader. You'll never be a good leader. Amen. I tell you, Joshua was one that got behind Moses and scotched Moses and followed Moses and listened to the man of God. And when it was time for Moses to go, God raised up a leader in Joshua. Listen, the Bible said down here, he's second-guessing himself. Even a good leader. Boy, how that speaks to my heart. Even a good leader is second-guessing himself. Let me ask you something, Mom. Have you ever second-guessed yourself? You're a good mother, but have you ever second-guessed yourself? Let me ask you something, Dad. Have you ever second-guessed yourself? I'll guarantee you, you won't talk to a pastor that'll be honest that hadn't second-guessed himself. You won't talk to a daddy that'll be honest and a papaw that'll be honest that hasn't second-guessed himself. Joshua was saying, "Lord, what is it? Should we just stay over yonder? What are we doing over here?" Listen to me tonight. Let's listen to the Word of God. He said, "Oh Lord, what shall I say when Israel turns their back before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it, and they'll environ us around." In other words, they're going to circle us, and they're going to cut off our name from the earth. "And what wilt thou do unto thy great name?" Sounds to me like they're from Iran. I'm going to tell you something right now. You better put that on your prayer list. How many of y'all know that you can make a deal with the devil, but he'll never keep his end of the bargain? He's a liar and the father of it. How in the world? How in the world could we get behind something that's out to destroy the people of God? The Bible said some of that outfit's been chanting death to America all the way through it. He said, "Preacher, you ain't got no business touching that stuff." Well, God told Abraham, "I'll bless them, bless thee, and I'll curse them to curse thee." I just want to bless the Lord. I want to be a blessing to the people of Israel. Amen. I know blindness in parts happened to them. Amen. I was telling Brother Grizzle last week, we've got another missionary coming in. I'm not sure what board he's with, but he's going to the Jewish people. He is a Jew. He's been saved by the grace of God. There's hope. There's hope. The Lord said unto Joshua, I love this, "Get up." Verbatim, he says, "Get thee up. Joshua, get up. Get up off of your face, son. It is not time to pray. It's time to deal with something." He said, "Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff." I'll tell you what I believe is killing revival in our days. S-T-U-F-F. Stuff. Stuff. "Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but their backs, turned their backs before their enemies because they were cursed. Neither will I be with you anymore except you destroy the accursed from among you." Up!
Sanctify the people and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. It was a mess. It was a mess. A mess that got a family killed. Drop on down with me in the text. The Bible said here, and he brought in verse 18, his household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. It makes you wonder, doesn't it? What really happened here in this conversation? Because you understand that Achan did not do what Ananias and Sapphira did. Achan comes clean right here. Some way or another, the Spirit of God was on Joshua, and the Spirit of God dealt with Achan. And it could be that it just eat his lunch long enough, amen, and he couldn't stand it anymore. Can I just say this to the people of God? Sin will eat our lunch. If you're really a child of God, you have to deal with sin. It's going to have to be expelled. We're living in a generation where sin is excused, but it needs to be expelled in the life of the believer. Here the word of God said, Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession. And there we're going to see the mess is going to be confessed. It's going to be confessed. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. That's the Reader's Digest condensed version. He told him all about what he had done, where he buried it, what he buried. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. Let me give you a couple of things real quickly. Not only is it a mess of disobedience, and is it a mess of consequence, and is it a mess that is confessed, but it's a mess of covetousness. The young people are in my heart today. I got that young man Stephen on my heart this morning, these young men being baptized, and they're on my heart today. Let me tell you something. Listen, mom and dad didn't get what they have overnight. And I believe that many times young people, they get married and they're trying to have in a year what it took mom and dad 3 decades to accumulate, to have a home, to have a car. Amen. Are you listening to me? And my friend, covetousness, wanting something, my friend, instead of being content with such things as we have. What happens many times, it makes a mess. If you'll notice, some of us right here in this room, if we'd go back early in our marriages, that dollar bill or the lack thereof caused problems along the way. How many knows I'm telling it right? Amen. Amen. Covetousness. The Bible said in covetousness, listen, which is idolatry. There's not a one of us that would come in here and bow down to some little wooden god or some little god carved out of stone. There's not a one of us that would do that. But when we covet, we're guilty of the same thing. My brother, at one time, I prayed to God, and I believe he's over that. He did get saved by the grace of God. I believe that with all my heart. My brother, at one time, I tell you, he was so bad to try to outdo his other brother, outdo me. And I just don't understand why anybody would want to be in a competition in life. If you move in beside of me and you build a 3-car garage, it's not going to be in my heart to build a 4-car garage. It's not going to be in my heart to build a 3-car garage. It's not going to even be in my heart to build a 2-car garage. If I needed a garage, I'd have probably built it before you got there. Say amen. I don't understand. The covetousness will kill a family. I don't know this. I do not know. The Bible doesn't speak. The whole family's going to be stoned. I know that. But it makes me wonder if the whole family didn't know what was going on. And maybe even have a little part in what was going on. I don't know that. I will not be dogmatic right there. But I know this. This mess cost a family their life. I don't know what Joshua was expecting. We see it's a mess of covetousness. There's a wedge of gold. He coveted, he wanted what God said was supposed to go into the treasury. Look in verse number 19 of chapter number 6. All the silver, the gold, the vessels of brass, the iron are consecrated unto the Lord, and they shall come into the treasury of the Lord. I tell you something tonight. There's a lot of families in a mess because they got stuff buried that belongs to God. They've got stuff buried that belongs to God. Malachi, how will a man rob God? Will a man rob God? How will a man rob God? In his tithes and in his offerings. Not only, I've heard it wonderfully taught in this pulpit, our tithes, but our time. Here in the Word of God, Achan has made a really, really bad decision. It's disobedience. It's covetousness. But even though he confessed it, it's a mess that's going to end up getting his family killed. Let me say this to you tonight. I'm going to bring this down to a close. It's a mess of concealment. A mess that he concealed. Look what the Bible said. He said he didn't just covet them, but he said, I took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth, in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. I'm going to make a statement tonight. Please listen to me carefully right here. When it comes out many times in a church, when it comes out many times in a home, or in a family, people standing around, just like Joshua, just like the children of Israel, are shocked. But the thing of it is, the mess was there, it was just concealed. You see where I'm coming from? I believe that even in the United States government, sometimes the mess was there before we ever went to the poll and voted. It was just concealed. Say amen. And then it begins to be revealed what someone really is. Here, some way Achan got it in his heart that he could hide this from God, that he could hide this from Joshua. Somebody tell me tonight, what can we hide from God? What can we hide from God? That is a sobering thought.
We cannot hide one thing from God. The Bible goes on to say in verse 22, so Joshua sent messengers, and they ran unto the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent, the silver under it. The accursed thing, the thing that belonged to God, the garment, accursed, the thing that belonged to God in the treasury, the gold, the silver. They took them out of the midst of the tent, and they brought them unto Joshua and unto all the congregation of Israel, and they laid them out before the Lord. I want you to pray for this preacher. This preacher will pray for you. But I want every one of us to realize there's a day coming when it's all going to be laid out before the Lord. It's all going to be laid out before the Lord. He laid them out before the Lord, and Joshua and all Israel with him, they took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had. They brought them into the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire. After they had stoned them with stones, they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee, and arise, go up to Ai. See, I have given unto thy hand the king of Ai, and his people, and his city, and his land. Now, they could have victory. I want you to pray for this preacher, and this preacher will pray for you. That all of us will realize our responsibility to one another in the body of Christ. Our responsibility to these teenagers. These teenagers' responsibility to us. Our responsibility to these children, Sunday school classes and children's church. Our responsibility to these children in Bible school. Our responsibility to these children, Sunday after Sunday, after Sunday, after Sunday. Brother Gail Gardner said to me a while back, I think it was the Christmas program, Sister Danita, when all the kids got up here on the stage. He shook his head. He said, preacher, I'm praying for you. What a responsibility you have to lead those children in the way of the Lord. Our responsibility is shared, amen. Pastor can't do it by himself. No one Sunday school teacher can do it by themselves. But if we'll each do our part, we can have an impact on this generation. This morning there was a message that got one man killed, Stephen. Tonight there was a mess that got a whole family killed, Achan's family. And besides that, 36 soldiers on the battlefield there at Ai lost their lives. Tonight, I heard a missionary. He's been in this pulpit before. His name is Brother Roger Napper. I worked with him for about 8 years with Rock of Ages out of the 10. How many remembers Brother Napper? Brother Napper walks with a limp because his leg got blown off by a .30-06 from right there down. He was on a hunting trip. And a guy laid a gun up in the seat, loaded, and
It accidentally went off and his leg went all over the windshield and all over the truck. Not using it as an excuse, but just telling the story. He got hooked on medicine and got hooked on drugs. He woke up one day and he had been away from his wife for 5 years and didn't even realize it. I'm talking about heroin. I'm talking about some of that stuff that will absolutely destroy you inside and out. And I've heard him tell prisoners time and time again, and I believe the Holy Spirit, I didn't plan on saying it, wants me to repeat it tonight. He said, "Men, you better be serious about sin, because sin sure is serious about you." That's good advice, whether we take it or not. We better be serious about sin, because sin sure is serious about you and I. Serious about our church. Serious about our families. Serious about our teenagers. Serious about our children. Sin is serious about destroying our nation. Wouldn't it be wonderful if some way there could be an awakening and our nation would be serious about sin? What God called sin, I'm not going to say millions of years ago. I don't believe that junk. Say amen. But for the last 6,000 years, what God has called sin, 6,000 plus, is still sin today. God's never changed His mind about sin. The mess. You say, "Preacher, I don't understand. If you'd hear some of what I hear and read some of what I read, maybe you'd understand a little better. God don't want our families to end up in a mess. He doesn't want our church to end up in a mess. He doesn't want us to go down that road." Amen. Let's pray together. Father, thank you tonight for the privilege to be in the house of God. Lord, you said plainly in the book of Corinthians, these things are written for our ensample, for our admonition. And God, I believe tonight you are admonishing us. Lord, not just the people, but the pastor. God, to be serious about sin. Lord, I believe with all of my heart that the reason Stephen was so mightily used of God, his heart was pure. He glowed, Lord, with the presence and the power of God on his life. God, I pray tonight that you would help us. Lord, so many times when we mention the word sin, we can think about drug addicts and think about drunkards and think about whoremongers. But Lord, tonight, to him that knows to do good and does it not, to him it's sin. Lord, you said whatsoever is not of faith is sin. God, I pray tonight that you'd help us, Lord, to judge sin in our lives, Lord, that we might walk with you.